B&B creative production. This is Left on Dead.
They are very pleased with the download numbers so far, but unless something unexpected happens, this is going to be a quick trial and an open and shut case.
I've been thinking about that. If that's the case, I think I can get a lot of material from just interviewing witnesses and others involved that haven't been allowed to talk before now.
Who do you have in mind?
Ted's family, if they'd be willing. Jury members. It would be amazing if I could get Cindy King and then ask her how she feels about being accused of being Apollo.
Yeah, it sounds like this could have some legs after the verdict. You may want to go ahead and start finding a new case to cover.
Way ahead of you. Kathy is putting a list together for me. I have to put my phone away. A witness is taking the stand.
Now that the witness has been sworn in, Counselor Griffin, it's the prosecution's witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Metz, first of all, could you state your name and tell us about your credentials and experience as a medical examiner?
I am Dr. Kimberly Metz. I did my medical training and residency at Johns Hopkins University. I completed my MD there and then completed my PhD in forensic science. With an emphasis on biology and trauma, I have worked for 15 years for the Davidson County Medical Examiner's Office and have been the chief medical examiner there for the last 7 years.
Wonderful. Dr. Metz, thank you. Now, what member of your team conducted the autopsy examination of Mr. Ted Anderson?
That was me.
You directly oversaw the examination?
Yes. Given the publicity of this case, the DA requested that I take the case on myself.
And is that the norm for the chief medical examiner to be asked directly by the DA to get involved?
This is the first time in my career that I've seen that happen.
Well, why do you think you were asked to do so in this situation?
Objection, Your Honor. Speculation.
Sustained. Counselor Griffin, please move along.
Dr. Metz, based on your analysis and investigation, what would you say was the time of death of the victim, Mr. Anderson?
Thankfully, the crime scene was temperature regulated, so based on the temperature of the body when measured at the scene, we can put the window for the time of death between 12 p.m. and 12:30 p.m. on April 1st.
Now, just to make it clear for the rest of the conversations we will have with witnesses on the stand, is there any room for error on that window?
Since the body starts cooling immediately at the time of death, we know it could not have been any earlier than 12. Depending on whether the door was closed and if the fan is on, you could potentially add another 10 to 15 minutes.
So I'm correct in saying that, according to your expert opinion, the murder absolutely took place between 12 p.m. and 12:50 p.m.
That is correct.
Thank you. Now, tell us a bit, if you will, Dr. Metz, about the injuries sustained by Mr. Anderson that eventually led to his death.
Sure. There were 9 stab wounds in Mr. Anderson's body. There were 7 wounds on the front side of the body in his upper abdomen. 3 of those wounds were mostly superficial. The other 4, however, penetrated the rib cage and lacerated a variety of arteries in the process. No major organs were directly punctured or lacerated.
What do the wounds tell you about the person inflicting them? What's their relative size, dominant hand, and so forth?
Objection, leading witness.
Overruled. Please answer the question, Dr. Metz.
The assailant was likely right-handed, as all of the wounds had a slightly downward right-to-left trajectory when entering Mr. Anderson's body. Height is more difficult to tell, probably an average adult male.
Objection, Your Honor. A stab wound cannot show the gender of the attacker.
Sustained.
I would say the assailant was between 5'8 and 6 foot tall. Due to the depth of the wounds, I would say that scientific studies show that wounds of this average depth are more often inflicted by male attackers.
Thank you, Dr. Metz. Your Honor, I'd like to submit Exhibit 12B into evidence. This assessment completed on the defendant, Mr. Nick Boyd, by the prison medical team, shows that he is 5'9" tall, 187 pounds, and right-hand dominant. Very quickly, Dr. Metz, what other wounds were on the body, and what did they tell you about this attack?
Since no organs were severely damaged by the wounds, it appears the death was caused by blood loss. He lost approximately 1,400 milliliters of blood, which leaked out of his chest and abdomen cavities, which is more than one-third of his entire blood volume. There were two other stab wounds, as you can see on this diagram, at the base of the left side of Mr. Anderson's neck. These were likely inflicted after Mr. Anderson was subdued and no longer defending himself. There were several defensive wounds on his hands and arms. This was obviously a struggle, and it likely took Mr. Anderson several minutes to lose consciousness and several more to lose enough blood for his heart to stop.
So you are confident, Dr. Metz, that these stab wounds directly led to the death of Mr. Anderson?
I am.
All right, I'd like to submit Exhibit 42 into evidence. Let the record show that this is the knife police found in the office kitchen that tested positive for the blood of Ted Anderson. Based on the size and shape of this knife, is it possible, Dr. Metz, that the knife inflicted the wound on Mr. Anderson's body?
Based on the size, angles, and trajectory of the wounds, I would say it is very likely a knife of this size and shape inflicted these wounds. Given the fact that it had his blood on it, I'm almost certain.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Counselor Lilly, the witness is yours for cross-examination.
Hello, Dr. Metz. Did you say almost certain?
I believe as a scientist, we must always leave room for error. But no, it somehow had Mr. Anderson's blood on it. And it is the exact profile of what we would expect made the puncture wounds. The only thing that would make it more certain is if it was still in the body when police arrived.
I'd like to submit Article 26 A and B into evidence. These sales reports show that this exact model of knife was sold at 6,432 times in the state of Tennessee alone in 2022, and 26,913 were sold nationwide in that same year. Now, given the fact that over 30,000 of those were roaming out in the wild at a time, let alone thousands of similar models, is it possible that some other similar knife inflicted these other wounds?
Well, when you take it into context, that
is it possible, Dr. Matt?
Yes, it's certainly possible.
And while you are certainly not a chef, Dr. Metz, you have to have some sort of familiarity with what happens in a kitchen, correct?
Objection! Insulting? Relevance?
What I'm getting at, Your Honor, is whether or not blood could somehow end up on a knife by any other method other than being stabbed to death.
Overruled. Proceed, Counselor.
So, is it possible, Dr. Metz, that blood could end up on a kitchen knife without it being thrust into a person?
Yes, I imagine kitchen incidents happen often, even at work.
So you cannot tell me with 100% certainty that this knife is, in fact, the murder weapon.
I suppose that's correct.
Just one more thing, Dr. Metz. Do you have any evidence that my client, Mr. Boyd, has ever touched this knife?
Objection.
Sustained.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Dr. Metz, you've completed your obligation to the court at this time. I remind you not to discuss the case with anyone outside of the courtroom until the completion of these proceedings. For everyone else, we will take a 2-hour recess, and the next witness will take the stand at 2:30 sharp.
Boy, the defense is getting desperate. Trying to establish reasonable doubt by saying the weapon which was in the office kitchen and had Anderson's blood on it might not have been the murder weapon. No chance.
Geez, when you're that guilty, I guess it's hard to prove you're not.
Yeah, you can tell it's wearing on Boyd. 5 o'clock shadow, bags under his eyes. He knows he's in trouble.
Maybe we can get an exclusive from him when this is over. You might as well admit what he did and tell the truth about what happened.
If this guy is who I think he is, he may not have the truth in him. Hey, Kathy, can I buy you lunch?
Only if it's deep dish.
I looked into Cindy King like you told me. I found literally nothing. Found information about her dad's suicide, but she is pretty low profile. Works as a nurse, social media is standard, maybe a few too many selfies.
I didn't tell you she was a criminal mastermind, Alex. I told you that was Boyd's story. I assume he was full of it, so it's no surprise that his crazy Apollo story is a big lie.
Honestly, if Apollo doesn't exist, then this case is going to end up being pretty simple. Which is not good for my podcast or my career.
So you're actually hoping to find some kind of conspiracy?
I'm gonna go check this email and go get a refill. Don't touch that check.
You know me better than that. There's no chance I'm paying.
Hello, Alex. My name is Nick Boyd. I've heard that you're covering the trial where I'm being charged for the murder of my best friend. I cannot emphasize this enough. I did not kill Ted Anderson. Unfortunately, I'm having trouble proving it. I know this is a long shot, but I need your help. I was framed, and there's only one other person who knows it, Cindy King. She set me up for this. I know it sounds crazy. I know I look guilty. But she's the one who knows the truth. My attorneys refuse to call her as a witness and get her on the stand. They don't believe me. But if you're the journalist you claim to be, this is a story you have to follow up on. Find Cindy King. Be careful. She's deceptive. She's dangerous, obviously. But there has to be something, a burner phone, a surveillance video, something that can show that I was not at the bank when Ted was killed. Please, please help. Everybody else thinks I'm a monster. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm not a killer. And I need your help to prove it. Sincerely, Nick Boyd.
Hey, McKinsey, I'm about to forward you an email. It looks like business is about to pick up.
A B&B creative production. This is Left on Dead, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.